Merry Christmas and welcome to Engage Church. And something that you see some of our shirts running around today, I see a few where we invite everyone to come as you are. And we really, truly mean that. Jesus didn't say, go get right before you come to me. He said, come as you are. Come with your brokenness. Come with your pain, your hurt, your imperfections. Come as you are. And that's what our church wants to also say, is to come as you are. I'm grateful that each and every one of you chose to be here today, especially our board and staff who stayed out late partying last night. And I'm going to invite you this morning to open your Bibles to the book of Luke. We're focusing on the Christmas message from the book of Luke. And we're going to find ourselves in chapter 1, verses 57 through 66, but also earmark that because we're going to go to the beginning of chapter 1, and then also earmark Acts chapter 16. We will be in Acts chapter 16 later on today. And there's some text that I'd like you to read with me. And I hope you brought your Bible today. If you brought it, will you hold it up? All right, electronic devices count, Arvin. Today we're looking at John the Baptist. John the Baptist and how he lived his life and how his life was purposed to prepare the way for Christ Jesus. While you open to our scripture this morning, I've got a story I want to tell you. It happens to be about our board and staff party. When I wrote this, there were some things that I was assuming that would happen at the board and staff party. What you don't know is there's a lot of add-ons. And I'm going to share some hopefully funnies for you at my expense. But we had great food. We had even better company. And we had a great time in fellowship with one another last night. What no one saw, but if you've ever hosted a party, who hosted Thanksgiving here? Uh-huh. If you've ever hosted a big meal, the preparation that goes into executing on such an event. And it took careful planning. I literally went to the grocery store with a hand, grocery list. I used my phone. I took a grocery list this time. Do you know how disorienting that is to not stay in your norm? I had to track somebody down. Luckily, it was Graham. She was also at the grocery store to get a pin so I could cross off what I've already bought because I was rereading the list 13 times every time to figure out what I needed next. And so it took careful planning. It took execution. I had to follow through on my plans. And then I had to be purposeful to make sure that we had things just right. I had brisket on the smoker at 9 p.m. Friday. When I wrote this, it was 11 p.m. Well, I decided 9 p.m. was a better time. We had dinner rolls and pecan rolls rising early Saturday morning. We had to juggle and decide what went to the oven and when, all to have the food ready by 6 p.m. It required our attention all night and all day to ensure we had everything prepared for the party. Now, there were some interruptions. Did you know that you have to be careful how many carrot peels you put down the garbage disposal? Do you know what happens if that person is not careful about putting down? The pipes literally out of everything. And you end up cleaning 4 pounds of carrot peels from underneath the sink, pulling all the plumbing apart to get the carrot peels out of your sink so it'll drain. And so we were drying underneath the bar sink yesterday in the middle of the day, in the middle of cooking. That was about 30 minutes of vacuuming up little carrot chunks all over the floor. And we had a really good time. It was a really good time for Alicia and I to connect. Then we have a portable ice maker for a camper. And our ice maker in our freezer is not working in our fridge at home right now. And we knew we needed ice. So we have a portable ice maker that I believe is Graham's ice maker. And I brought it up on the counter and filled it up with water and hit start and walked away. You know, about 25 minutes later, I thought I saw Noah's Ark float by in the kitchen because it was all over the counter, was clear down on the... So we probably washed 25 towels yesterday. And so every towel in the house. And that was another good time for us to connect yesterday. And I share that because it's funny, because nothing goes as we ever planned. And if we know anything about John the Baptist, he lived out in the wilderness, right? Do you think it was easy? Do you think things went the way they were supposed to go? No, but we did yesterday, we did last night, we did it joyfully, we did it dutifully, and out of expectation that the board would come at the prescribed time. And that was at 5:30, and everybody made it. And so, thank you for coming last night. Now, to say this, John the Baptist was born with the purpose of preparing the way for Jesus' arrival. He was born for that purpose. John's calling was to prepare the hearts of the people for Jesus. He did it joyfully, he did it dutifully, and out of expectation that Jesus was on his way. Let's get to our scripture this morning. Luke chapter 1, verse 57 through 66. Now the time came for Elizabeth to give birth, and she bore a son. And her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown great mercy to her, and they rejoiced with her. And on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child, and they would have called him Zechariah after his father. But his mother answered, "No, he shall be called John." And they said to her, "None of your relatives is called by this name." And they made signs to his father, inquiring what he wanted him to be called. And he asked for a writing tablet. Now, little what you don't know, Zechariah was a priest. He went in to do his priestly duties. An angel showed up to Zechariah and said, "Hey, your wife's going to bear a son. This is what you're going to call him, and this is what his ministry will be." And then Zechariah said, "Well, how will this be, because she's old in age?" And the angel said, "Because you didn't believe me, your tongue will be silent until the day your child is born and named." And so Zechariah fell silent. He could not talk. So this is why Zechariah was asking for a tablet. Okay, let's pick back up in verse 63. And he asked for a writing tablet and wrote, "His name is John." And they all wondered. Verse 64, and immediately his mouth, Zechariah's mouth, was opened and his tongue loosed, and he spoke, blessing God. And fear came on all of their neighbors, and all these things were talked about through all of the hill country of Judea. And all who heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, "What then would this child be?" For the hand of the Lord was with him. Now, we don't know how long from the time that the angel came to Zechariah to the time that Elizabeth became pregnant. But we know for a fact that he was at least silent for close to 9 months and 8 days. Now, that could be seen as a good thing by several of you. But can you imagine not being able to talk for 9 months? The question that I want us to ask, the same question that they asked, what then will this child be? We're going to answer that this question this morning. But while doing so, I want you to ask yourself this question. Who will I be? Who then will I be? So who was John the Baptist? What was his purpose? Why was he a special child? Well, first and foremost, like Jesus, John's birth was foretold in Luke chapter 1, verses 5 through 25. And we're going to come up to verse 13 here in just a second. So if you want to get yourself there, this is where the angel appeared to Zechariah in the temple with this message, verses 13 through 17. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great before the Lord, and he must not drink wine or strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb." Do you know that Scripture shows us when that happens? It's when Mary goes and visits Elizabeth, and she is filled with the Holy Spirit, and John leaps in her womb. Verse 16, "And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. And he will go before them in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children." We'll talk about that in a second. "And the disobedient to the wisdom of the just to make ready for the Lord a people prepared." That is quite the word from the angel to Zechariah. Quite a message that the angel brought. And no doubt, this baby, John, had a purpose. In Luke chapter 3, if we were to flip two chapters past Luke 1, we're not going to read it, but you can earmark that, because what we see in Luke chapter 3 is that John the Baptist prepares the way for Jesus. We see all of this coming to fulfillment in chapter 3 when John goes out, and this is what his purpose was. This is how John prepared the way. John the Baptist invited the Jewish people to repent of their sins and be baptized. Do you know that this is the first time in New Testament that baptism is brought up? It is by John the Baptist. Prior, baptism was only for the Gentile people who converted to being Jewish. They baptized them in that sense. Otherwise, we can go back into Leviticus, and when Moses was first, what happened to the priest? They put on special garments and they were poured with that. That signified baptism. But actual, the baptism that John was bringing was new. It was brand new. And he brought water baptism. Okay? And this is how he got his name, John the Baptist. Because baptizing. Okay? So he invited them to repent of their sins and be baptized. And what baptism is, and we talked about this morning in our class, getting ready for our baptism service, it is an act that outwardly demonstrates the inward dedication of their lives to God. Prior to this, the Jewish people relied on their heritage and practices. What John is bringing is an outward demonstration that shows your inward dedication to who God is, to your relationship with God. He did this through baptism in immersion, meaning we're dunking in water, which is what we're going to do in a couple of weeks. And I'm really excited for that, and I encouraged everybody participating in that to invite friends, invite family. This is no small thing. And I don't want to treat it as such. In order to prepare the way of the Lord and make the path straight, John needed the Jews to understand, first, that their ancestral heritage would not save them. Your grandma's faith does not save you. Your dad's faith does not save you. You go down south. I should have found the video for this. You go down south and interview, a lot of people will say they're a Christian. And when you ask why, because I went to church with grandma and grandma prayed. That is the biggest lie that Satan could ever sell to any one person, to believe that they are saved because of grandma's faith. You are not saved by grandma's faith. You are saved by the blood of Jesus. Full stop. That is the only thing. If there's one thing you get from today, it is a relationship with Jesus only. Period. He needed them to understand that their ancestral heritage does not save them, but rather their faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior would be what saved them. But it would require a personal commitment. They were watching for their Messiah to come. When he came, ultimately we know he was rejected by the Pharisees and the Sadducees. But many people accepted this message. John's baptism called for repentance from sin, meaning real life change happens as well as belief in Jesus Christ. So it's all in, when we step into a relationship with Jesus, everything changes. And it's that we outwardly display our baptism in and with Jesus. So ultimately, John preached a game-changing baptism of repentance message that leads to a life of holiness only found in surrendering to Jesus Christ, not how many offerings you brought to the temple. It had nothing to do with our ancestors, but everything to do with me. So here's a few things that John's preaching exposed. It exposed people's sin, and it convinced them to turn back to God. That is what true repentance is when we turn away from sin and back to God. Not grandma's repentance, not grandma's faith. It has to be personal. I will say this later. You will have an opportunity. We're preparing the way, if you will, right now for people to have the opportunity to put their faith in Jesus. Okay? That comes at the end of the service. But when I talk about it, it has to be personal. It has to be from a place that we understand our depravity and our separation apart from Jesus. It is through Jesus that all of that is taken care of. It is nothing, no act you can do, no work you can do, nothing apart from putting your faith in Jesus Christ will save you of your sin. Second thing he preaches, he preaches in the spirit and the power of the prophet Elijah. Like Elijah, John's preaching focused on revealing what was morally and spiritually right by God's standards. And third, John's preaching helps restore the right relationships in families and leads many people to do what is right by God's standards. One of the failures, and if you do some studying on this, it'll lead you to the same thing. One of the failures of then, and even more present in today's society, is fathers not loving their sons and daughters enough to teach them the ways and commands of the Lord. One of the failures today is fathers not loving their sons and daughters enough to teach them the ways and commands of the Lord. That's heavy. I love my kids. Do I love them enough? Am I teaching them the ways and the commands of the Lord? And I pray and I hope I'm doing a good job at that. It's evident that John's words echo throughout history. They still speak to us today in an effort to prepare us to encounter and believe in Christ Jesus. Now, we must answer the question, what will I be? What will I be? I'm just Mike. What will I be? You're just Emma. She just turned 17 this week on Monday. Yes? 17? Yep. She just turned 17, so happy birthday, Emma. She's now a 17-year-old. That's who she is. Let's turn to Acts chapter 16. Verses 25 through 34. To set the stage, just very simply, Paul and Silas, they're in prison. They're in prison, okay? So this is where we pick up, is when they're in prison. Acts chapter 16, verses 25 through 34. And it says this, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly, there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately, all the doors were opened and everyone's bonds were unfastened. When the jailer woke and saw that the prison doors were open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, supposing that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul cried with a loud voice, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." And the jailer called for lights and rushed in. And trembling with fear, he fell down before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them out and he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household." And they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their wounds, and he was baptized at once, he and all his family. Then he brought them up into his house and set food before them, and he rejoiced along with his entire household that he had believed in God. If asked, what will I be? I don't think the jailer probably ever expected the radical life change that he was about to experience. The jailer If asked, who will I be prior to talking to Paul, it was a dead man. He was grabbing the sword to execute himself because if the prisoners escaped, that's what was going to happen to him anyways. He never expected the radical life change. And that's what the gospel does. That is what the gospel message does. It radically changes us. It radically changes who we are, what we think, what we do. And Paul and Silas, so here's what Paul and Silas were doing. They were just worshiping the Lord. They were in prison worshiping the Lord. Do you know what else they were doing? They were preparing the way. There is an encounter that the Holy Spirit had intended to happen with the jailer by them singing. Then God shaking the foundation. The jailer encountered God's power face to face. And he came and he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" How many people just come up to you and say, "Sir, how can I be saved?" Does it happen? Not very often, right? Did Paul and Silas say, "You know, let me get back to you. I'll have to see." No, they said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household." The gospel message is really that easy. How must we be saved? By Jesus. By believing in Jesus. So the gospel message, it radically changes us. Paul and Silas, they prepared the way by singing hymns. The jailer encountered and he heard the gospel message. Not only did he hear it, because we can hear it and not do anything with it, right? He heard it and then he... I just lost my place. I'm sorry. There. He heard the gospel message. He received the gospel message. And he stepped into a relationship with Jesus Christ because of Paul and Silas and the doors of the jail flying open. So he received the Lord Jesus. He experienced a life change. And without delay, he was baptized. He was baptized. And he treated, this I think gets missed too many times, he treated Paul and Silas now as equals, not criminals. He washed their wounds. He took them into their house. He fed them. So if the jailer was asked after the fact, "What will I be?" The jailer became a powerful witness for the Lord Jesus Christ because he met Jesus in a radical way. Now, maybe you haven't sat in prison and had the doors fly open, but each and every one of us have heard the gospel message, and at some point, we've responded to it. Let me tell you, that's radical life change. That's radical that you would say yes to Jesus Christ. Here's where the boots hit the ground. As Christians, we have an active part in preparing the way. As John prepared the way for the Lord, we prepare a way for the Lord to enter our hearts through repenting of our sins. Because then what happens when that happens? Christ comes in and he just starts to make things new. Your old, evil, sinful desires, he removes. What does he put in? More of him. His desires, his heart. We also prepare the way for others to say yes to Jesus. You know that? Your voice, your life, how you act, how you treat others, how you talk about others, how you take care of your finances, how every aspect of your life is literally preparing the way for others to say yes to Jesus. So what does that tell us? It tells us we have to be intentional in our actions, in our words, and in our witness. While we are not John, there is one John in here that I know of this morning. There might John Moses isn't here. I don't know. Anyone else named John? Anyone? Nope. All right. Huh? Oh, Johnny. Sorry, Johnny. He's back there on soundboard, guy. We forget about him too often. So Johnny's back there. Praise the Lord for Johnny. He's running sound this morning. He's keeping me on. We got two Johns, normally three in here. The rest of us, we're not John. But also, you guys aren't John. You're not John, right? But we share in John's purpose to prepare the way. After all, it's what Jesus called us to do in the Great Commission. Matthew 28:19. I said we would get back to this. We're going to get back to it now. In addition to all of John's preaching, the angel said, he's going to turn the Father's hearts back to their sons and daughters. Paul said in verse 31 in Acts 16 there, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household. Just so we're clear, this does not imply that we are saved because of dad's faith. We are not saved because of mom's faith. We are not saved because of grandma's faith. Like John's preaching, it pointed fathers to their sons and daughters. So what Paul is implying in this is that because of the man's faith, because of the zeal and the desire to know Jesus, he would teach it and display it to his family. And because of this, his family would come to faith, would find faith because of his faith. Does that make sense? It is not because he was saved that they were saved. It is because of his faith that they too would find faith. So, fathers, guess what? It's important to be present. It's important to teach your kids. Now, if you are not a father and you are a grandfather, guess what? It still holds truth. Maybe you're not a grandfather. Maybe you're not a father. Maybe you're just a guy. Guess what? You can still teach. You can still teach and point them towards Jesus. Like John the Baptist, like Paul, like Silas, who were boldly preaching and boldly living, we too can have bold voices and live bold lives to represent the gospel in our spheres of influence. A few weeks ago, I had some balls up here and some tape and a circle, and I talked about our sphere of influence. There are people that you will see and talk to every day that I may never meet in my entire life. Should I be expected to be the one to reach them? Who should? Ken, thanks for being here today. So, who will I be? Who will I be? Will you be a powerful witness for Jesus? Are you willing to prepare the way for somebody to say yes? Stacy, if you want to come on up. Church, every week, we talk, I don't know how well you can see it. I see the letters are not as crisp on the screen as it is on my iPad, but every week we use our vision statement, engaging our community for Jesus, because we tie it in. It's everything that we do. It's what we believe. It's who we are. Engaging our community for Jesus means we are preparing the way for Jesus. You cannot engage the community for Jesus if you are unwilling to prepare the way for Jesus. Here's a real-life example. By distributing these toys, Terry just left to go over there to get the Rock Center open for you guys to go over. By distributing these Christmas toys from Rural Initiatives, it prepares the way. By sharing the gospel message with the families receiving these toys is how we prepare the way. In every aspect that we are engaged in our lives, from where you work out at, to where you bank at, to where you work at, to where you go and do your hobby and leisure times at, to where you go get your coffee, we can and should be a powerful witness for Christ Jesus. So, I ask you, who will you be? If you guys would, bow your heads and close your eyes this morning as we come to a close. As we rediscover Christmas, we ultimately learn that the most incredible thing in our life is that Jesus is our salvation. He is where we find our salvation. Romans 10:9 says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Not you might be, you could be if you do this, this, and this. If you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, you will be saved. This Christmas season, the best gift you can ever receive is the gift of relationship with Jesus Christ. The forgiveness of your sins, reconciliation with God, and a promise of eternity with Him. There is no Christmas present that outmatches this one. So how? Through a heartfelt prayer. Key word, heartfelt. Confessing that you are a sinner in need of forgiveness and declaring that Jesus is Lord and believing that God raised him from the dead. It has nothing to do with your words. It has everything to do with your understanding of your broken, sinful nature apart from Christ. So this morning I'd like to ask you, if you'd like to receive this gift, if you've never had a relationship with Jesus, and this is in a brand new way, or maybe we've had one, but we've walked away, we've made some decisions, and we said, Jesus doesn't love me because of this, listen, this can be in a fresh way. So whether in a new or a fresh way this morning, if you would like to respond to this, would you please just raise your hand? Put it up, put it back down. I just need to see it quick. Church, we're all called to prepare the way. Every single one of us, we are called to prepare the way. Our Christian faith is not something we hide and we keep as our own. It's meant to be displayed. It's meant to be shared. It's meant to be proclaimed. It's a gift that we should all desire to see, all say yes to. It is the best thing that has ever happened in my life. Why would I never want somebody else to say yes to that? If it's the best thing for me, it's the best thing for them. It's a gift that we should want to share with others. So if you find yourself saying, I don't want to share the message, let's look at our heart. Let's look at our heart because we should want to share with others. Now I understand that we don't just go out and do it on our own. We need the strength of the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit to help us carry this out. We need the Holy Spirit to help us live out our faith and our freedom that we receive in Christ every single day. We need our ears to be open to the Holy Spirit. We must have our ears open to His leading so we know when and who and what to share. So as the worship team leads us in a song, I plead with you this morning. I plead with you. Come to the altar. Seek after God. Ask Him to lead you by His Spirit and to help you prepare the way for those in your sphere of influence. That others might come to know Jesus in a radical way through you. Amen. Thank you.